Thank you. You may be seated. Today we are going to take a look at the error of contemplative prayer, or what has been called centered prayer. And this is a new 21st century movement into apostasy. Basically, it teaches that one is to empty oneself. And the word used for emptied oneself is kenosis, as in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Emptying oneself of thought and words, and to meditate only on God. Now, there are several steps and practices involved in this movement that has infected almost all denominations in the United States. This supposedly has come from Roman Catholic writings of Ignatius and others, and appears to be akin to what used to be called transcendental meditation. This mystical practice is being taught by almost all Bible colleges and seminaries in one form or other. At this point, perhaps it should be best if we simply let the proponents of this to speak for themselves. On the website called The Empty Bell, there appears to be quite a bit of their philosophy. Now, we appreciate their openly sharing this information to all on the web. So, let us see some of what they have to say is contemplative prayer. Excuse me. And we're just going to quote this. Quote, when desert monks and mystical theologians such as Cassian, Origen, St. Anthony, St. Augustine, and St. Benedict, and many others, such as St. Isaac of Syria, Maximus, the Confessor, and St. Athenaeus, who are the various practices of Christian prayer, began to be articulated more clearly in the 3rd to the 6th centuries, claimed as sacred teachers in the Orthodox tradition. These early Christian writers, whose writings are fortunately collected and translated anew in the Paulist Press series entitled The Classics of Western Spirituality, wove together many wonderful stories, practical suggestions, and theological frameworks for prayer, meditation, and contemplation. Throughout the history of Christian prayer, there are no firm definitions to distinguish the terms prayer, meditation, and contemplation. Still, we can often think of prayer as vocal prayer, uttered silently or out loud, alone or with others. In prayer, we often speak and listen to words of address, talking with and listening to God. Meditation has often been used to indicate a kind of heartfelt reflection, whereby we turn over in our minds the words of Scripture, an experience of liturgy, or the memory of a meaningful interaction or prayer. Meditation requires the work of focusing our minds and ruminating on something in God's presence. Contemplation is most often used to describe a later developmental stage of prayer, and meditation whereby the seeker's mind and heart have become calm and open to a deep listening. In contemplation, one has stopped doing anything and is simply present to God, and God is present to that person. In contemplation, one no longer thinks, meditates, reflects, or speaks, but is, quote, all ears, unquote. In an ambience of love, a simple being with the God of love. Continuing on here, in the first centuries after Jesus' life and death, most desert monk writers were familiar with silence, their own silence, and the silence of God. Quite often they emphasized purity of heart and a letting go of all thoughts that were not directed to God. They suggested that in order to enter into the light of God's presence, one should first focus the mind with a simple prayer. Single lines or phrases from the Psalms were often used for this purpose, such as, quote, O God, come to my assistance, make haste to help me, end quote. Or, quote, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, end quote. Sometimes the prayer is counseled to recite the short prayer in a rhythm with each breath. When the mind has become still, St. Athenaeus suggested that one simply breathe Christ. Sometimes these mystical theologians understood the letting go of one's thoughts and emotions as the emptying, that's the word, Greek word kenosis, that is mentioned by St. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and following, where Christ emptied himself. In silence, these mystical theologians sensed a unity with God that cannot be experienced if one is caught up in one's own thinking about God. Their spiritual practice is sometimes called the via negativa, or the way of unknowing, versus the via affirmatia, which proceeds by way of what we can know about God through our senses. Gradually, an implicit architecture of prayer developed among the desert fathers and mothers who blossomed later in medieval monasteries and convents. In the first step of prayer, lecto, which is Latin for prayer for reading, we slowly read or recite a passage of scripture. In the second step, meditatio, or reflection, we slowly repeat a word or phrase, and let its meaning sink deeply into the soul. In the third recommended step, called oratorio, we express our spontaneous emotional response to God's loving presence. In the fourth and final step, contemplatio, we rest in God's presence without words, without images, or without feelings. This last step of prayer is considered a gift. We cannot will ourselves to experience contemplative silence, but we can only receive it. Contemplative silence honors the via negativa approach to God, who is beyond all words, stories, and images, beyond our control. To pray and meditate in the Christian tradition is to dance the boundary between knowing and unknowing. In this dual emphasis, we perceive more space for interfaith dialogue, especially with Asian spiritual paths such as Hinduism, Taoism, and Buddhism, than one finds in a purely Christian spirituality. Contemplative prayer provides us with a disciplined practice that keeps us that helps us to be light on our feet with regard to what we can know about God, and so allows us more inward spaciousness to learn from those who follow other spiritual paths. End quote. This gives a good introduction to much behind the movement. Along with this, we see a resultant accompanying movement called the New Monasticism. According to Wikipedia, this is, quote, New Monasticism is a diverse movement not limited to a specific religious denomination or church, and including various expressions of contemplative and prophetic life. These include evangelical Christian communities, such as Shane Claiborne's Simple Way Community and Jonathan Hartgrove Wilson's Ratoba House. European and Irish new monastic communities, such as that formed by Bernadette Flagian, non-traditional spiritual communities, such as the Community of the New Monastic Way, founded by feminist contemplative theologian Beverly Lanzetta, and interspiritual new monasticism, such as that developed by Rory McIntyre and Adam Bucko. These communities expand upon traditional monastic wisdom, translating it into forms that can be lived out in contemporary lives in the world. The origin of the new monastic movement is difficult to pinpoint. Some communities now identified with new monasticism have been in existence since the 1970s and 1980s in the UK. Other well-known communities, such as the Simple Way in Philadelphia, formed in the mid-1990s. Bede Griffiths, B-E-D-E, Griffiths, careful, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H-S, a Roman Catholic monk who oversaw a Christian Hindu ashram in India from the years 1968 to 1993, spoke often of the future of monasticism as being a lay movement and developed a vision for the new monastic. Ramon Pacar outlined the idea of a new monk in a series of lectures in 1980, given to a group of Western and Eastern monastics, as well as non-monastic lay contemplatives at Holyoke, Massachusetts, which were subsequently published in the book entitled Blessed Simplicity, The Monk as Universal Archetype. Recently, various new monastic communities have appeared in Ireland and increasingly across the United States, including what is considered interspiritual new monastic communities connected with the lineage of Bede Griffiths, such as that seen in the book entitled Foundation for New Monasticism. End of quote. If you think this to be a fringe and rare in the realm of Christianity, according to the website Lighthouse Trails, what is called contemplative prayer, missional change agents, spiritual formations, contemplative formation, interdenominational interfaith, is being taught in almost all seminaries in the United States. see Lighthouse Trails for an extensive list of Bible schools and seminaries that have this as part of either their curriculum or part of the student activities. The list is long, approximately 240 seminaries and Bible schools. Some of those on the list are Alliance Seminary, that is the Christian and Missionary Alliance Seminary in Nyack, New York, the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, Baylor, Biblical Theological Seminary in Hatfield, Pennsylvania, Duke Divinity School, Calvin College, Columbia Theological Seminary, Dallas Theological Seminary, Friends University, Fuller Theological Seminary, Gordon College, Grace Theological Seminary, Lancaster Bible College, Liberty University, Messiah College, Northeastern Seminary, Oral Roberts University, Pepperdine University, Tyndale College and Seminary, Wheaton College. Curriculums change, and this information may not reflect the present year disciplines of these schools. If there are any schools on the list that shouldn't be there, please notify us that we may make the proper corrections. All seminaries that desire to be accredited by either the Association of Theological Schools or the Association for Biblical Higher Education must incorporate contemplative formation in some way or other into their curriculum and or activities. The Association of Christian Schools International also espouses this philosophy in one form or another. The Lighthouse Trails website defines this movement in this way, quotation, spiritual formulation, a movement that is provided a platform and a channel through which contemplative prayer is entering the church. Find a spiritual formation being used, and in nearly every case you'll find contemplative spirituality and its pioneers, such as Richard Foster, Dallas Willard, and Henry Nouwen. Spiritual formation is based on spiritual disciplines that can be practiced by people of any faith to make them more Christ-like. Rebirth through Jesus Christ and regeneration through the Holy Spirit are not essential. Rather, it is a works-based theology that has strong roots in Roman Catholicism and ancient paganism. Contemplative spirituality is defined as a belief system that uses ancient mystical practices to induce altered states of consciousness, that would be the silence, and is rooted in mysticism and the occult, but often wrapped in Christian terminology. The premise of contemplative spirituality is pantheistic, which means God is in all. God is all. Excuse me. Pantheistic is God is all. And panentheistic, which is God is in all. Common terms used for this movement are spiritual formation, the silence, the stillness, ancient wisdom, spiritual disciplines, and many others. End quote. As noted earlier, this is very similar to what used to be called Transcendental Meditation, which was a movement started in the 1960s by a Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and made well known by the Beatles and various Hollywood stars of the time. According to William J. Peterson's classic book titled Those Curious New Cults. The basis for this form of religion is very simple. One is to meditate on one word or phrase and repeat it as what is called a mantra, while clearing the mind of all other thoughts. One doesn't need theology, repentance, or to be born again to find inner joy. One doesn't have to give up a thing or promise to live a better life. Page 190 and 191. Quote, when the mantra penetrates the soul, you don't have to worry about morality anymore. End quote. Page 194. Let's kind of summarize all this up, bring this to a close. The dangers of this self-centered theology and seeker-friendly philosophy of life should be obvious to any discerning Christian. This really shouldn't continue in churches, schools, and seminaries if one wants to follow biblical Christianity and stay clear of interfaith apostasy. Non-denominational interfaith organizations that seek to be agents of change by adopting Christianized forms of mysticism are inviting disaster for future generations of churches that will result in an apostasy that only vaguely resembles true Christianity. To depart from the Word of God is to depart from the faith. We will not give heed to seducing spirits with their enticing words and promises, but stand against any and all who pick and choose from world religions and attempt to incorporate such damnable heresies into Christ's church. Do the words, quote, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? End quote. Found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do these words not mean anything today? How far into the world of lostness can one go and still think himself Christian? We invite those who are involved in such deceptive entanglements to simply come out from among them and be not partakers of those sins, and be separate. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Thank you, and you are dismissed.